and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Two more American soldiers were killed today in separate attacks in Iraq. In the most recent incident, a soldier was killed and two others were injured after a bomb hit their convoy near Taji, north of Baghdad. Earlier, one soldier was killed and another injured in an attack on U.S. forces near Tikrit. 125 U.S. soldiers have died in Iraq now since President Bush declared major combat operations over May 1st. Three men, including a suspected British arms merchant, will be in federal court today after they were arrested yesterday in New Jersey. The three are accused of smuggling a surface-to-air missile into the United States and then trying to sell it to an undercover FBI agent who was posing as a Muslim radical. British media today also say officers there spent several hours combing a house in North London at the request of American investigators. Yesterday's arrests are the culmination of a months-long international operation between American, British, and Russian officials. North Korea is now demanding the U.S. sign a non-aggression treaty and normalize relations with the communist country as a precondition for solving the North Korean nuclear impasse. Those demands come just weeks ahead of six-way talks scheduled on the future of Pyongyang's nuclear ambitions set to take place in China. More from Far East correspondent Celia Hatton, who's in Beijing.
In a lengthy government statement broadcast by North Korea's official news agency, North Korea called on the U.S. to agree to a legally binding non-aggression treaty, thereby rejecting informal proposals put forth by the U.S. and several other countries that fell short of a full non-aggression pact. North Korea is also calling on the U.S. to normalize relations with Pyongyang. The reclusive state warned the U.S. not to equate it with Iraq, arguing that it will not agree to early arms inspections. The statement by North Korea comes ahead of imminent six-country talks aimed at convincing North Korea to abandon its nuclear weapons ambitions. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
The United States, both Koreas, China, Russia, and Japan are set to take part in those talks.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
More than 7,000 doctors across the U.S. say they think it's time to institute universal health coverage. Their call is being made in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The group says 41 million Americans are without any form of health insurance. The AMA, however, isn't supporting their position. Retail sales were unexpectedly strong last month as Americans spent more money on a range of products. The Commerce Department says retail sales were up 1.4% in July. Car dealers saw an especially sharp increase with sales up 3.2%. The July increase was the biggest since March.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
At least 15 people have been killed in Afghanistan after a minibus explosion, the blast happening in the southern province of Helmand. It's possible also closer to 20 people were killed. Details from correspondent Alistair Wanklin.
The bus was en route to the provincial capital, Lashkargah, southwest of Kabul, when it blew up. Regional Security Commander Rahman Sabir said half of those on board were women and children. The exact cause of the blast has not been established, but police say they think it was not a landmine. In the last few weeks, the number of attacks in Helmand province has increased, following a resurgence of Taliban and suspected Al-Qaeda fighters thought to be operating from Pakistan. Alistair Wanklin reporting.
And former President Bill Clinton is turning his attention now to suit embattled California Governor Gray Davis. The New York Times is citing associates of both men who say that over the past week, Clinton has become one of Davis's main strategic advisors. Davis, of course, is facing a recall election in California October 7th. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What you don't see can't hurt you, right? Neighborly ghosts and friendly spirits aside, think again. What you can't see can kill you. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. Every summer, callers on the Car Clinic Network ask what's causing that odor when I turn on my air conditioner. And the answer? Bacterial growth in the AC system. The good news is there's an ingenious process from BG Products that cleans and disinfects your entire ventilation system without having to dismantle it. You'll breathe easier with a BG ventilation service, and your car will smell like new. To find a shop that performs this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Conventional wisdom says ignorance is bliss. But colorless, odorless, and tasteless carbon gases, together with visible byproducts of pollution, harm health and environment. Enter Walbro Corporation's Smart Tank, the industry's first electronically managed fuel storage and delivery system. What this means to consumers and to citizens of planet Earth is harmful vapor collection and carbon vapor storage within the tank itself, while providing fuel pressure as demanded by your onboard computer, saving gas. That's one green machine, saving cash and the planet. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Happy Wednesday, day 185 of the search for weapons of mass destruction, soon to be reinvented by David Kaye and this administration as the Search for Weapons of Mass Destruction Program, which, of course, will be redefined as the search for evidence that somebody was thinking about weapons of mass destruction. Day 185 and day 701 of the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of our president, since his daddy and our president's daddy were in business together, Osama bin Laden. Let us not forget him. In fact, let's revisit this. In our first hour today, we're going to be asking, why are the cons constantly ranting about a liberal media? Is this what they're worried about, this program? Actually, they're suggesting that the liberal media is like CBS, where Dan Rather went on Larry King and said that he was in favor of the war. And in the 3 months running up to the war, out of 256 people that he interviewed about whether or not we should go to war, only one person on the CBS Evening News talked against the war, and that was a little clip of Michael Moore at the Academy Awards ceremony. Oh, but they're liberal media, so we're going to get into that in our second hour. Is this administration putting corporate cronyism above the needs of both our troops and our labor force? And in our third hour, does the U.S. have an historic obligation to intervene in Liberia? We're going to have as a guest a person who is actually Liberian. He's going to educate us a little bit about that, and we're going to bring that topic out. It's sprinkled through it all. We will be digging into the issues of the news of the day. Got a few comments from our listeners. We're broadcasting, of course, live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast, on terrestrial radio stations. You can also listen to our signal on the Sirius satellite radio system. There's a radio satellite. I am constantly. Anyhow, Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145. That's the satellite radio that's standard equipment now in Ford, Chrysler, and other cars. And also, if you must, you can find us on the Internet at radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and archives at whiterosesociety.org. So lots of different ways to access this radical middle conspiracy. Also, if you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to liberaltalkradio.com and just click the chat buttons. It will take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button there, and boom, you are in with some of the most well-informed, well-educated, intelligent people in cyberspace. I love this show. The connection, the synthesis, like Howard Dean is doing. You know, the synthesis of the internet and traditional electoral politics, and we're combining this internet chat room and some folks listening on the web with all the many people all across the United States who can get this show on their local radio station. You know, you may be listening in your car at home, and it's so cool to pull all this stuff together. Anyhow, the liberal media, we're in the next half hour, we're going to have on a fellow by the name of Reed Irvine, who's the founder of Accuracy in Media, which is sort of the right-wing version of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And Accuracy in Media purports to prove that the media is controlled by a vast liberal conspiracy, and they beat this drum relentlessly. Now, Rich Bond, in 1992, when he was chairman of the Republican Party, said, "There is some strategy to bashing the so-called liberal media." He said, "There is some strategy to this. If you watch any great coach, what they try to do is work the ref. Maybe the ref will cut you a little slack on the next one." Or William Kristol, Murdoch's good buddy and publisher and super neoconservative, he says, "I admit it," to a reporter. "The liberal media were never that powerful, and the whole thing was often used as an excuse by conservatives for conservative failures." That didn't stop Kristol, of course, from then going out and running a fundraising, subscribe to our publication thing for the Weekly Standard, saying, "The trouble with politics and political coverage today is that there's too much liberal bias. Oh, my God, it's the boogeyman coming to get us." But reality sort of belies that. Given the success of Fox News, this interesting piece here in Utney Reader of the liberal media by Eric Alterman, whose book on this topic is brilliant. He says, "Given the success of Fox News, the Wall Street Journal editorial page, the Washington Times, the New York Post, the American Spectator, the Weekly Standard, the New York Sun, National Review, Commentary, Rush Limbaugh, Matt Drudge, and so on, there's clearly a conservative media out there. What's the liberal media? Well, there's The Nation. Actually, there is a handful of, quote, liberal publications," end quote, like the New Republic, although about half of that publication is where, you know, David Kelly, the former David Kelly, Andrew Sullivan served as editors. Kelly was also a top editor at the Atlantic Monthly. Kelly is the conservative who died in Iraq. It's funny, the liberal publications always seem to have conservatives on board. It's like there's this obsessive need to balance the story. Well, here we are. I'm going to have a conservative on in the next half hour. And you can call him, by the way, and ask him any questions you'd like. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. He's going to be on at the bottom of the hour, Reed Irvine. So, anyhow, is there a liberal? Well, I think if there was a liberal media in the United States, that we would know a little bit more about George Bush's lies. The conservative media, the corporate-owned mainstream media, unable to avoid the 16-word scandal because it's melting down the government of England, of Great Britain. I mean, Tony Blair is in terrible trouble. Unable to avoid that, they have essentially taking the position, well, you know, that's the whole scandal is about those 16 words. Who should have said it? Should they have said it? Let's look at some of and listen to some of the things that George Bush said that we now know he knew at the time he said them were lies. And ask the question, where's the liberal media talking about these words.
As a condition for ending the Persian Gulf War, the Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction, to cease all development of such weapons, and to stop
and
all support.
Here it comes, folks. Here it comes.
The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations.
And now the biggie.
It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
When he said that, he knew that it was either flatly false or there was a legitimate and vigorous debate going on in his own administration about whether it was true. But he stated it as a fact.
You must also never forget.
Oh, and this is, and then, I mean, here's the question. This is going to be my first question for Reed Irvine. If the media is so liberal, why does 67% of Americans think that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11? Why? Well, here's why. Same speech.
We must also never forget the most vivid events of recent history. On September the 11th, 2001, America felt its vulnerability, even to threats that gather on the other side of the earth.
Now you know why it is that George Bush will not mention Osama bin Laden's name, but every time he has an opportunity to braise the word terrorism in the same paragraph, he will raise the name Saddam Hussein. Of course, we're looking for Saddam Hussein. The search for Saddam Hussein. It's all about Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. And virtually everybody has acknowledged that, with the exception of a few diehards over at Faux News. But everybody in the intelligence community, everybody in the government. Here we go. Now, why was Iraq different?
Why Iraq is different from other countries or regimes that also have terrible weapons?
Well, they've got all this oil.
While there are many dangers in the world, the threat from Iraq stands alone.
Yeah, with 10% of the world's oil.
It gathers the most serious dangers of our age in one place.
And that danger is the danger of a recession in the United States, because too many people are driving SUVs and we're only producing about 20% of the oil that we consume, and we've got to secure our oil supply. Well, that's a big danger, but of course that wasn't mentioned. Weapons, Saddam, here's another, shall we call them misstatements of fact. Saddam has weapons of mass destruction.
If we know Saddam Hussein has dangerous weapons today, and we do, does it make any sense for the world to wait to confront him as he grows even stronger and develops even more dangerous weapons?
And not only does he have dangerous weapons, Bush says, but he has massive stockpiles, ignoring the fact that his own intelligence pointed out that this stuff couldn't have been manufactured after the beginning of the sanctions, and therefore any of the chemical or biological weapons, with the singular exception of mustard gas, would have disintegrated. Would have absolutely disintegrated.
This is a massive stockpile of biological weapons that has never been accounted for and is capable of killing millions.
Millions and millions and millions.
We know that the regime has produced thousands of tons of chemical agents.
Thousands of tons.
Mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, VX nerve gas.
And then he gets into the missiles. Now, this is a particularly deceptive one. Saddam Hussein was told that his missiles couldn't have a range of more than 115 miles. And it turns out that they had a range of about 120 miles. Why? Because they didn't have warheads on them, which would have added weight, which would have reduced them. And so he actually allowed us to start destroying them. But that was the difference.
Iraq possesses ballistic missiles with a likely range of hundreds of miles.
Not hundreds.
Far enough to strike Saudi Arabia, Israel, Turkey, and other nations, in a region where more than 135,000 American civilians and service members live and work.
Yeah, we got to worry about that. And then not only ballistic missiles, but those aluminum tubes. Let's get back to the uranium stuff here.
We've also discovered through intelligence that Iraq has a growing fleet of manned and unmanned aerial vehicles.
This was that model airplane that they found made out of balsa wood.
That could be used to disperse chemical or biological weapons across broad areas.
There was one of them.
We're concerned that Iraq is exploring ways of using these UAVs for missions targeting the United States.
It weighed 6 pounds. It was a model airplane. Where is the liberal media confronting the deceptions of George Bush? We'll dig into this a little farther when we come back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 12th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Orlando. How may I help you?
Hi, my name is Stacy Noble, and someone broke into my back window.
Okay, did you call the police?
You're my first phone call.
When you have OnStar, no matter where you go, a live advisor is available to help 24 hours a day.
Okay, what I'll do is contact the police and I'll conference you.
Okay.
Police 911 emergency.
Hi, my name is Orlando. I'm calling from OnStar. I have a subscriber on our line whose vehicle was vandalized. Now, conference her in. That way she can get more information from her.
Thanks a lot.
Hello, Mrs. Noble. I do have police on the line.
Hi, Mrs. Noble. What happened?
Well, I parked the car at the intersection of Ordway.
OnStar is available on the Saturn View, Ion, and L series. To learn more, visit your Saturn retailer or Saturn.com.
Is there anything else I can do for you at this time, Mrs. Noble?
I just love you so much. I can't even believe how many times I've been thankful for OnStar.
If you need any more assistance from us, just go ahead and give us a call.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speech Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long, coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Yeah, change is gonna come. Wait until November of 2004, folks. A change is in the wind. Change is in the air. What was it Jock Gill said the other day? Blood in the water. You know, this is amazing. A careful 1999 study, this by Eric Alterman, published an article by him, published in the academic journal Communication Research. Four scholars examined the use of the, quote, liberal media, end quote, argument and discovered a fourfold increase over the past dozen years in the number of Americans telling pollsters that they discern a liberal bias in their news. Four times as many people think there's a liberal bias in the news as did 10 years ago. But a review, or 12 years ago, but a review of the media's actual ideological content collected and coded over a 12-year period offered no corroboration whatsoever for this view. The media has been fairly consistent. News consumers were responding to increasing news coverage of liberal media bias claims, which have been increasingly emanating from Republican Party candidates and officials. As Rich Bond admitted, the right is working the refs, and they are getting results. You got, for example, Charles Krauthammer, the right-wing commentator, writes for Time magazine. George Will, right-wing commentator, writes for Newsweek magazine. John Stossel on ABC News. At CNN, you got Robert Novak, William Bennett, Pat Robertson, Ann Coulter, Tucker Carlson. It's not like there is a shortage of conservatives out there. Where are the liberals? Where are the liberals in television news? You got some liberals who are writing for papers, you know, Molly Ivins, Bob Herbert, Paul Krugman. Have you ever seen any of them on television? And where is the liberal media when it comes to the misstatements of fact of George W. Bush? For example, let's go back to those 16 words about whether Iraq was reconstituting their nuclear capacity. Turns out, of course, we know now that George Bush knew then that this was not the case.
Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges.
Oh, all that equipment.
Which are used to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons. If the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
Now, where did this come from? Hang on just a second. We're going to come back to you, George, in just a moment. In Paul Sperry article here in WorldNet Daily, a former Energy Department intelligence chief who agreed with the White House claim that Iraq was constituting its defunct nuclear arms program was awarded a total of $20,500 in bonuses during the buildup to the war. Tom Ryder overruled senior intelligence officers on his staff. His officers argued at a pre-briefing at Energy headquarters that there was no hard evidence to support the alarming nuclear charge. Ryder ordered them to shut up and sit down. Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham gave him a $13,000 performance bonus, and he received an additional $7,500 performance bonus.
He experienced the horror of September the 11th.
So let's tie it into 9/11 again, George.
We have seen that those who hate America are willing to crash airplanes into buildings full of innocent people.
This right after he said Saddam hates America.
Our enemies would be no less willing. In fact, they would be eager to use biological or chemical or a nuclear weapon.
And right after he claimed that Saddam and Iraq were all about having all three of those things. And here's the kicker.
Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Where is the liberal media? Where is the liberal media pointing out what has happened with this? Where is the liberal media saying, hey, this guy, look, this wasn't 16 words. This was speech after speech after speech, news release after news release after news release, manipulated intelligence information, paying off people with $20,000 bonuses in the administration to spin things. This is a lot more than 16 words. Where is the liberal media on this? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute with Reed Irvine, who's going to tell us where that liberal media is.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Technicians at the Oyster Creek Nuclear Power Plant in New Jersey are back on the job after 11 weeks on strike, losing the battle to protect their livelihood. The technicians, members of Local 1289 of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, went on strike in May over plans to cut 20 jobs. Their ranks have already been slashed by more than half over the last 2 years. But the contract approved by a slim majority last week gives Exelon, the company running the reactors, the right to cut as many jobs as it sees fit over the next 3 years. Members of the union local call the new deal worse than the offer Exelon made them 3 months ago. Exelon kept Oyster Creek online during the strike by flying in technicians from other nuclear facilities it owns around the country. Just before settling the walkout, Exelon announced plans to cut 10% of its workforce by 2006.
As contract talks between Verizon and its largest two unions head into overtime, some of the phone company's workers are turning to customers for support. The Communications Workers of America wants Verizon subscribers to switch to competitors like AT&T if and when a strike begins. The plan has won the support of many college students, including Maddie Alpenbein of United Students Against Sweatshops, who says she's prepared to organize carrier switches on college campuses unless Verizon improves its relations with workers in its wireless division.
The wireless carrier switch is a solidarity campaign for the one unit of 52 workers who are currently negotiating a contract at Verizon Wireless. USAS is prepared to make Verizon enemy number one!
Contracts covering Verizon employees expired on August 3rd, and nearly 80,000 workers are poised for a walkout.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our question for the hour, why are the conservatives constantly going on and on about this liberal media? We've got several different organizations out there that are devoted to exposing it. One of them, Accuracy in the Media. AIM, who was founded by Reed Irvine. He's the founder and chairman emeritus of Accuracy in the Media, a former Federal Reserve official, publisher of the AIM Report, writes a syndicated column, does a daily radio commentary. Reed, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good to be with you.
Oh, thank you. First of all, Reed, what's your website? If any of our listeners want to check out your information.
Sure. It's www.aim.org.
Aim.org. Okay,
great. It's very user-friendly.
Good, good. Okay, thanks. Reed, do you define liberal as disagreeing with conservatives or as promoting a specific agenda?
Well, there is a difference between liberals and conservatives, to be sure. And, you know, you come to back in the days when we started Accuracy in Media, which was 1969, we had a lot of journalists who were a little more than liberal. I mean, they were actually pro-communist, pro-socialist, admittedly left-wing. And I must say, to put up front, when I was a youngster, a kid, I was very left-wing myself, and I know what I can recognize it when I see it, and because I grew out of it. And I'd have to say that I've concluded over the years that conservatives tend to be people who pay more attention to facts and to factual accuracy. And liberals,
so that's your criteria. If somebody pays attention to facts, they're a conservative, and if somebody listens to lies and nonsense, they're a liberal?
Well, the liberals, and I'll go from my own experience on this, you know, I was indoctrinated in high school and in college with the idea that there were certain universal principles that, you know, you could, one of them was Marxism. I mean, you could rely on the Marxist theories to
Reed, we're going down a road here that I don't think you're going to find anybody running around loose in America today who calls themselves a liberal and identifies with Karl Marx. I mean, that's a straw man tactic. But to get back to your suggestion that conservatives are those who pay attention to facts and liberals are those who believe lies.
Is
that how you prove that we have a liberal media by virtue of the fact that 67% of Americans believe that Iraq was involved in 9/11 and over 50% of Americans believe that there were Iraqis on the planes that flew into the World Trade Center? Is that because the media is liberal and they lie?
Well, it isn't a matter of lying. It's a matter of taking the trouble to find out what the facts really are.
And our media hasn't done that. By the way, if anybody would like to call in and speak with Reed Irvine, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Reed, I'm sorry I interrupted you. I'll let you finish your thought there. I just didn't. I forgot to mention that at the top of the when I first brought you in and wanted to get it in.
What I was going to say is, first of all, you said that you wouldn't find anybody as a Marxist. We have another organization that's called Accuracy in Academia. We just had a conference recently with a large number of college students who came to Washington. We had a summer university for them. And one of the students said that, I've forgotten exactly now what university she was at, but she had a professor who insisted that she take a Marxist line, and she downgraded her because she refused to do so.
Yeah, well, that's not, you know, one loony professor is not evidence of
a
liberal media, Reed. Come on.
This is not one.
Reed, forgive me for interrupting again, but we've got two callers on the line, and I'd like to bring them in and let them pose their questions for you and give you a chance to respond to them. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Kathy in Cambridge, Massachusetts is on the line. Kathy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Reed Irvine.
Hi. You know, I think you're doing your listeners a great disservice having this gentleman on, and I'll tell you why. He's just pretty much propagandizing. It's the same old all over again that, you know, real liberals are really Marxists when in reality, what he's saying is just, you know, the media's liberal, blah, blah, blah. It is hardly liberal. I have to go to The Guardian, a UK newspaper, or The London Times in order to find out what is going on in my own country. It's a really set. I just think you're doing your listeners a great disservice. I'm sorry, I'm kind of mad. So that's all I can say.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kathy. I think it's important that, and I appreciate your call, and I respect your point of view. I do think, however, it's important that if people want to know how to win the water cooler wars, that they know how to have these conversations. And I think that we need to be listening to all sides in this debate. Tim in Hartford's on the line. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
There I am. Okay.
There you are.
There I am. Reed, my first question is kind of comical. Which high school taught you communism?
I grew up in Salt Lake City. I went to West High.
Let's not get this all personal here, Tim. Reed's background is not the issue here.
I just found the remarks a little, first off, outdated. And I was just wondering, now, when John Stossel presents his essentially libertarian-ish point of view to millions and millions of people on ABC Worldwide, when Fox is broadcasting and their so-called lead people take very conservative their anchors, not their commentators, but their anchors are presenting the, you know, do you criticize them? Do you criticize? How do you justify the final thing of over 600 radio stations all across this country, far more than any other person broadcasting a midday show that's bent on conservatism? Doesn't the numbers say that the fact that the media is heavily conservative?
Thanks, Tim, for the question. Reed?
Well, here's where we come to the fact, who pays attention to the facts? How many of these two callers we've had, does either one of them know that surveys have been made of what the views of journalists are? And the most comprehensive of these surveys show that journalists overwhelmingly are, for example, against the death penalty. They're for gun control. They are pro-life, pro-abortion, pro-choice, and so on. And this is not a matter of
but their personal leanings, Reed. I mean, let's talk about this. You wanted to talk about the facts. Let's look at some statistics. In the 3 months leading up to the war in Iraq, nearly two-thirds of all sources on all American media, and this is from a LexisNexis report database search that was done by FAIR in May of 2003, two-thirds, 64% were pro-war, 71% of the U.S. guests favored the war, anti-war voices were 10% of all sources, 6% of non-Iraqi sources, and 3% of U.S. sources. Thus, viewers were more than six times as likely to see a pro-war source as one who was anti-war, while and with U.S. guests alone, the ratio was 25-1, and at that point in time, a quarter of Americans were opposed to the war. So you got a quarter of Americans opposed to the war, but 3% of the sources. On CBS Evening News, for example, where Dan Rather openly announced his pro-war stance on Larry King Live, only one guest out of over 250 was anti-war, and that was a sound clip of Michael Moore at the Academy Awards. I mean, the statistics are there. I'll let you respond to that, and then we've got Gary in Colorado Springs and Brian and Jim in Santa Fe. I want to get to these other calls here.
Well, you're not talking about something that is factual, like does this journalist believe in gun control, or is he opposed to gun control?
I'm talking about something factual about what was actually reported in the media.
How people feel about a policy. Now, that is a matter of opinion. It is not a matter of fact.
Right, but if they're paid to report the facts,
well,
if they are contaminating those facts with their opinions, they can be fired. That's why we have journalism schools, to teach people not to do that.
I would suggest that that is what journalists do, is they're supposed to report the facts. And, one of the things I suggested when I agreed to go on this program was to talk about Ambassador Joseph Wilson, who went over to Iraq to get the facts on whether or not there had been any effort on the part of Iraq to buy uranium from Africa. Mm-hmm. And, it's kind of an interesting point that this guy writes up his story in the New York Times. He has a big op-ed piece in the New York Times. And he comes back and he hasn't written a report. He's only given an oral report of what he found. And I've gone over what he was. He was on the Bill Moyers show on PBS at the end of February. And he had some very interesting things to say. For example, he said, "I'm not against the use of force for the purpose of achieving the objective that's been agreed upon by the UN, disarmament. I think that's legitimate."
Yeah.
He said he was calling for muscular disarmament, coercive inspections, and so on.
Right.
And a few days later, in the Nation magazine, he has an article, and he says in there, "The upcoming war is not about weapons of mass destruction."
But the Nation magazine is openly liberal. I mean, trying to compare the Weekly Standard with...
We've got an ambassador here, former ambassador, who's reporting to the CIA on his observations, and he contradicts himself within the space of a few days.
Well, I would say that's his problem, or that's ours to know about. Gary in Colorado Springs is on the line. Gary, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You have a question for Reed Irvine.
Real interesting of your guest to be there. I appreciate it a lot, sir.
Thank you.
I hardly get a chance to talk or hear people of your caliber. I really admire the operation you run and the information campaign that you're a part of. And I'm curious to know how you measure your success on a week-to-week basis. You were just talking about the Nation magazine, for example, and the Bill Moyer program. If you only got your message on those programs, would you consider yourself successful, or do you try to get your message to larger media outlets that get to more people?
Reed?
Well, if we depended on measuring our success by the degree to which we're able to get the New York Times and the Washington Post and the L.A. Times and so on to publicize the information that we provide to them,
right,
we would have to mark ourselves up as failures because they simply won't do it.
But they publish your angle of the story consistently, far more than any other angle.
What, the New York Times?
And the Washington Post.
They certainly do not publish our... I've been battling...
They certainly don't publish the other side of the story.
I've been battling the New York Times and the Washington Post for 30 years now.
You might be arguing with them about a couple of commas, but they're basic commas.
No. We're arguing with them about important stories. And I was engaged with them. They had this Jason Blair matter, the big scandal.
Right.
And I wrote to the Times pointing out that for years now I've been going to their annual meetings because we own shares in the New York Times. We go to their annual meetings. We can take on the chairman of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And I point out that I've been, since young Sulzberger took control of the paper and became the publisher, we've been confronting him with the fact that they refuse to correct errors in an appropriate manner, and important errors, serious errors.
Is that technique I would imagine owning shares in the publication would really help you get an ear with the management and help direct where they would go, wouldn't it?
Well, it depends on who it is. Young Sulzberger's father was a real gentleman and very fair. And after a few meetings where we went to their annual meetings and raised questions, pointing out errors that they had made that they hadn't corrected, he suggested that we, instead of doing that, that we meet with him privately. And I said, fine, as long as we can tape record it and as long as we can write it up. And he agreed to that. And for many years, instead of going to the annual meetings, we had our annual meeting with the chairman and the vice chairman. He always had somebody with him.
Yeah, I think we're digressing here a bit because, Reed, I'm wondering, Reed, forgive me for interrupting, but in radio here, we've got a limited amount of time. We've got a bunch of more callers.
Sure.
And you have been meeting with the New York Times on for all these years, you, the watchdog, looking for liberal bias, giving them your feedback. Has an organization which looks for conservative bias also been meeting with them?
You keep saying liberal. You talk about bias. I'm not looking for bias. I'm looking for factual errors and to see if they get corrected properly.
I see.
And
okay,
that
great.
Is not a, oftentimes errors are a result of bias. It's true.
Right.
On both the conservative and the liberal side. But the purpose of accuracy in media, as the name implies, is that we are interested in pointing out what the error is, not pointing out what the, not necessarily pointing out the bias, although if there is a mistake made clearly because of bias, because the journalist, if I may go back 30 years, was a Marxist, that's kind of important.
Sure, and those people should be outed. I agree. If they're contaminating their news on the left or on the right, anyhow, Jim in Santa Fe is on the line. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman. Oh, I'm sorry. Brian in Santa Fe is our next caller. Brian in Santa Fe is on the line. Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. We're talking with Reed Irvine, founder of Accuracy in Media, AIM.org.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Tom and Reed.
Thank you, Brian. Brian, you got to speak up. We can hardly hear you there.
I can't hear him.
Well, first off, I need to take a little offense at the fact that Reed somehow thinks that liberals don't know or garner facts. I know a tremendous amount of facts about a tremendous amount of things. I'm extremely liberal, so I think that's ludicrous at the outset.
Yeah, Brian, I can hardly hear you. I think you're on a cell phone and it's breaking up. And we've
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. And we've got about 30 seconds here before this break comes.
Well,
if you want to just wrap up your point.
Two things. Reed should listen to fairness and accuracy in reporting, which is very accurate.
Fair.org.
He should also listen to your show as you had yesterday with Scott Ritter, who knows a tremendous amount of facts that are not reported in the so-called liberal media. So those are the few things that I have to say.
Great. Brian, thank you very much. Reed, we'll give you a chance to respond to those in just a minute. We've got Jim in Santa Fe on the line, too. And we got a break here we've got to take. And we'll be back with Reed Irvine, founder of Accuracy in Media, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
We are
very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I hear something saying.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Reed Irvine of AIM, Accuracy and Media, AIM.org. Reed, on the Fox News Channel on March 23rd of this year, the headline said, huge chemical weapons factory found in South Iraq reports 30 Iraqis surrendered a chemical weapons plant, cold troops holding Iraqi in charge of chemical weapons. On the 24th of March, the Jerusalem Post, with an embedded reporter from Fox, ran a front-page headline, U.S. troops capture first chemical plant. NPR on April 7th reported, John Burnett said, and I quote, the first solid confirmed existence of chemical weapons by the Iraqi army, end quote. ABC World News Tonight blurred an exclusive report on April 26th, and I quote, U.S. troops discover chemical agents, missiles, in Iraq. And then... it goes on and on. Here, Rush Limbaugh, on his website, April 7th, we're discovering weapons of mass destruction all over Iraq. You know, it killed NPR to report that the 101st Airborne found a stockpile of up to 20 rockets tipped with sarin and mustard gas. Our troops have found dozens of barrels of chemicals in an agricultural facility 30 miles northwest of Baghdad. Turns out, Reed, none of these facts are accurate. Have you guys been checking these facts?
Well, I think it was very, I remember the report, and I think it was very quickly established that the facts were not accurate. And that was publicized. You're coming back to something that, was
but we still have a situation where the majority of Americans believe that Saddam was behind 9/11. How could that happen?
I have no idea why. I don't know whether what poll you're basing that on, and I certainly have no idea why a majority of the Americans would feel that way.
The CNN poll. Okay, we've got Jeff in Denver on the line. We're coming up against the top of the hour. Reed, I've got three calls here from Jersey and Santa Fe as well. Can you hold on over the top of the hour after the news, and we can take another 5 or 10 minutes on this?
Yeah, this is fun to joust with the liberals.
Okay, great. Jeff, I think we got about a half a minute left. If you want to do it quicker.
Sure.
Okay. I'm sorry. We've just run out of time here in this segment. But Jeff in Denver, Nick in New Jersey, Jim in Santa Fe, we'll take your calls right after the top of the hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Reed Irvine of AIM, and then we're going to wrap that up in the following hour. So stay tuned. We'll be right back right after the news.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate
don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Two of the three suspects accused of smuggling a shoulder-launched missile into the United States made appearances in a Newark, New Jersey federal courtroom today. U.S. Attorney for New Jersey Christopher J. Christie outlined the charges against one of the suspects, who's an alleged British arms dealer.
Complaints, as you know, were brought this morning against Hamat Lakhani, who was charged with two counts, one of aiding terrorists by attempting to import into this country for sale to a terrorist organization a shoulder-fired missile.
Christie said the alleged arms dealer knew the shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missile he allegedly tried to sell was intended to shoot down a commercial airliner. Another suspect was charged with running an unlicensed money-transmitting business and facilitating the down payment for the missile. The third suspect will be in federal court in Manhattan later today. A BBC journalist who interviewed the late British government advisor David Kelly has resumed testifying before the Board of Inquiry into his death. Correspondent Suzanne Chislett has the latest on the proceedings from London.
Susan Watts has already told the Inquiry that Dr. Kelly named Chief Spin Doctor Alistair Campbell as the man who rewrote the dossier on Iraqi weapons, but she said she took his words as gossip and did not include the claim in her reports. Ms. Watts says she recorded interviews with Dr. Kelly and they're expected to be played to the Inquiry. Later, more BBC executives and government officials are expected to testify to the Hutton hearings. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And two American soldiers are dead today following separate attacks in Iraq. One U.S. soldier was killed and two others were injured in a blast north of Baghdad earlier today. U.S. military officials say that incident happened in the town of Taji after an improvised bomb was detonated near the soldier's convoy. Earlier, a U.S. soldier was killed near former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit. Over the past 2 days, three U.S. soldiers have died in three separate bomb attacks in Iraq. These latest deaths bring the number of U.S. casualties in Iraq since President Bush declared an end to major combat operations May 1st to 125.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all. Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
President Bush and his top economic advisors will meet at his Crawford, Texas ranch today. They'll try to come up with some ideas on how to kickstart the economy. There has been some good economic news out today. The Commerce Department says retail sales were up unexpectedly last month, fueled by higher gas prices and auto sales. A sixth person in Colorado is dead now from the West Nile virus. The Colorado Department of Health and Environment so far has not identified the elderly female victim. The Rocky Mountain State leads the country this year in fatalities from the virus and is reporting already nearly 200 cases of the mosquito-borne illness.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
British Airways has now suspended all its flights to Saudi Arabia until further notice because of increased security concerns. More from correspondent Alistair Wanklin in London.
British Airways says it acted only hours after the threat became apparent, but it's not thought to be related to the missile arrests in the United States. The decision to stop all flights to and from Saudi Arabia was made after talks between BA and the British government's Department for Transport. The airline's director of security, Jeff Want, says it's a precautionary measure and will continue for the time being. All flights from London Heathrow to both Riyadh and Jeddah were cancelled. Alistair Wanglin, London.
And Americans taking advantage of more affordable prescription drugs from Canada could soon be facing more obstacles. The Detroit News says Canadian doctors and pharmacies are being heavily pressured by pharmaceutical giants in America and professional regulatory agencies who are opposed to the practice. Those professional groups say doctors and pharmacists can make fatal mistakes by prescribing drugs to patients they don't really know. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. A Ragtop Day is my favorite road trip tune. But before you put your convertible top down, you should know how to keep it up. When I come back, I'll give you the buzz.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars.
Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Roger Maharis did it on Route 66, and Jimmy Buffett perfected it on A1A. I'm talking about cruising with a top down, the perfect summer sport. For a major league convertible top, bathe it with car wash, never detergent. Use a soft cloth or sponge, except for plastic rear windows. They're so pliable that even a sponge will scratch. And save your elbow grease for your car. Waxing vinyl will dry it out. Instead, use a vinyl protectant. Now you're ready for championship cruising. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Satellite Radio System, Stream 145. And also available this program on the internet at radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. We're talking today with Reed Irvine, founder emeritus and chairman of Accuracy and Media, AIM.org, former Federal Reserve official, publisher of the AIM Report, writes a syndicated column, does a daily radio commentary. And, Reed, we've got a couple of calls stacked up here. Jeff in Denver is first on the line. Jeff, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yes, welcome, Reed. First of all, I'd like to say I don't consider this liberal radio we're listening to, so I don't think you're debating with a lot of liberals. But the other thing
we are
is,
the radical middle, Jeff.
Yes. I think this is a fair and balanced media right here. But the question is, a couple questions. First, dealing with Bill Moyer, as you brought his name up, do you consider him to be inaccurate?
Absolutely.
I've noticed I did a search of your website, and I keep on finding you call him liberal, but I've not found anything yet that you say he's inaccurate.
Oh, I've written, I haven't been following him lately, but if you go back, you've got to go back more years when I was paying attention to him, and I did a number of reports taking his presentations over PBS apart.
Okay, what about Ann Coulter? Do you consider her accurate?
Well, I'm not a great fan of Ann Coulter's, but it just so happens that today I got on my email a response that she had given to Arnold Bikman. I know you know the name Arnold Bikman. He's out at the Hoover Institution, who had criticized her book and she had responded to his criticism and took him apart. Now, Arnold Bikman is a good friend of mine. He's a scholar. He's certainly an anti-communist, but he happened to be wrong about in criticizing what she had said about McCarthy.
But you,
she got out the facts and proved it.
Again, searching her site, like Coulter, factually, is one of the most inaccurate people out there. And
well,
you,
give me an example of her inaccuracy.
Well, one is you can go to slander.homestead.com and they...
Excuse me, I can't... What was it?
Slander.homestead.com is a beginning point. But if you're just to do a search at Google for Ann Coulter and distortions or lies, you'll find over 19,000, you know, things there. But anyway...
Well, we could start with Ann Coulter saying that all liberals are essentially anti-American and anti-democratic. I mean,
well, that's, you know... That's,
speaking of lies...
That's an opinion, just as a lot of your listeners have the view that all conservatives are fascists.
But she's given dramatically inaccurate, like, if you see what she says in her book, then go to, like, say, the New York Times article that she references, you'll find it's dramatically different than what she references. Anyway,
have you?
But it's interesting.
How many of her books have you read?
But you point out.
Well, let's not beat this horse here, Jeff. But let's move on from Ann Coulter. We've got a couple of other callers too. Final point.
I just simply wanted to point out that he only uses Ann Coulter to cite to support the arguments. He never looks at Ann Coulter.
I have never cited Ann Coulter until the last few minutes.
I've just went to your site and I did a search and I found her. You were talking about her tearing apart Bill O'Reilly and things like that.
Just recently, and that was on the same thing that Arnold Bikman made his mistake about Bill O'Reilly. She was on Bill O'Reilly's program, and she challenged
him. Okay, we got it. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your comments, and thank you, Reed. President Bush said,
facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Have you gone after him for being accurate?
The president?
Yeah.
I have to, you know, he's been in office. I'm not totally approve of everything that he has said or done. I can't think right now of some incident in which we have taken him to task for being inaccurate, but
okay.
I'm sure he has.
Talk Yes is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Nick in Jersey's on the line. Nick, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, hello. Well, as someone who has studied the media for a long time, and I'm basically a media junkie, I've come to the exact opposite conclusion as your guest. From what I have found, is that when the facts are revealed and when the facts are presented straightforwardly, they're all too often attacked as liberal. So sometimes I don't perceive the media as liberal. I receive factual media as being attacked as liberal. And so there's a very big distinction. And as far as newspapers are concerned, I mean, most of the time you're going to see the bias in the editorial pages. And in the conservative papers, their bias is much more heavily, you know, pro-conservative. There's less of a viewpoint. But again, back to the facts. I came to the exact opposite conclusion. When the facts are presented, they don't do well under the conservative light, because that's when the attacks come out.
Right. So did Fair.org. I think if you're going to look at it, AIM.org, which I recommend, AccuracyMedia.org.
Yeah, I've been there.
You also check out Fair.org, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and you can see both sides of this argument. Nick, thanks for your comments. I appreciate it. To Jim in Santa Fe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Question for Reed Irvine?
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, Tom. I've been listening to you, and I appreciate everything you bring to everybody in, as far as education and talk about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I think that all this is just divide and conquer, left, right, name calling, who's who, titles, and nobody to the true facts. what I'd like to know is why are we following the 12 planks of the Communist Manifesto instead of the Constitution? And taxes, and nobody goes all the way with what you really need to know and talk about that. You do on your daytime programs, but it just gets everybody arguing amongst each other all the time. The news media, to me, and then I'll shut up, is totally controlled. The Associated Press just puts out what they want, and everybody just follows. And sometimes they might go off in one direction, you know, to get a little interest. They just stay. There's no news reporting. There's no investigating. They just do what they're told. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for your opinion, Jim. Reed, that raises the question. And then we've got Jim in Missouri and Ed in Dayton, Ohio here on the line. But just real quickly, how can a newspaper like the Washington Times, which is the main one that President Bush reads, which is published by a guy who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ and, you know, is a weapons dealer and a rabid right winger, do you go after them about being accurate?
Sure.
You do? Okay. Great. Jim and
I have on my desk now an editorial that they published the other day on the anniversary of the A-bomb droppings, in which they got the number of casualties wrong, number of people killed
and
wrong.
And you corrected it for them. Well, good on you. That's well done. Jim,
you know,
Missouri's on the line.
You have to realize that Sungman Moon does not have anything to do with what the Washington Times prints. He spends most of his time in Korea. He is not, and he is pledged not to interfere with the editors of the paper. And
I haven't seen a story about Reverend Moon in a long time in the Washington Times. I don't think that anybody could survive in that environment by criticizing him. Do you?
It would be a little difficult, probably.
Yeah.
But
okay.
The fact
great.
That
okay,
that
Jim in Missouri's on the line. Jim, quick question. We've got to get through this here.
Yes, I have a question. I have a close friend of mine. He's a lieutenant colonel serving in Iraq at this time. Talked to him 2 weeks ago at home, and mother is sick. And he was telling me that people are being killed, shot by enemy fire, but it's being reported in the media that they're having automobile accidents and they're being killed by friendly fire. And this is all a bunch of lies. And also, what has happened about the visual on TV, us seeing these bodies coming home in body bags? When the Clinton administration was in there, we saw it every day. Why aren't we seeing body bags coming back from Iraq? And do you correct those kind of inaccuracies about the report?
Right, we did see them come back from Somalia. Good point, Jim. What's going on with this, Reed? Thank you, Jim, for that comment.
I happen to be a veteran of World War II, and I was in the Marine Corps. The main operation that I was involved in was the invasion of Saipan in the Pacific. We lost more people in one day in the invasion of Saipan than has been lost many times more than has been lost in this entire war. For people to be griping and say, oh, my God, look at all these body bags.
You think nonsense. That justifies the death of Americans in Iraq because more people died in Saipan?
Well, I'm talking about what a real war resulted in. World
Isn't
War
it sort of like saying, well, you know, Charlie Manson killed 15 or 20 people. I only killed one. I shouldn't go to jail.
Well, I'm only saying that, for this this guy to call in and say, the body bags. How many body bags have there been?
Well, no, I think his point was that when Black Hawk went down in Somalia and embarrassed the Clinton administration, the media showed those coffins coming home, made a big deal about it. We have not seen any coffins coming home from this war. The media have been restricted from reporting that. Are you pointing that out?
Who in the media has been restricted from reporting that?
You can't get there. They fly into a secure Air Force base, into Andrews Air Force Base, and they take them off, and they do not allow the media in there to film those bodies coming off those.
Sir,
those
planes. I don't believe that any coffins are being flown into Andrews. The coffins are taken off up at in New Jersey. This is
okay,
the place where the bodies are processed. But you're talking about if you were going to focus on that, it would be what I'm trying to say is that we have had a major operation in Iraq. We've had thousands of people involved, 150,000 troops involved, and the number of deaths that have resulted from this are very, very slight compared with World War II or any other major battle. And I suspect that the media probably feel that they would be criticized, and I think rightly so, if they were focusing on body bags.
Well, this isn't my understanding from the people in the media that I know. I would suggest that you look into this, Reed. I think you'd find it very interesting, into whether the media is being restricted from reporting the body bags. Reed, we got one more break. We got Ed in Dayton, Ohio with a call, and we'll wrap it up at the bottom of the hour. Is that all right with you? Reed?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Stick around for just a couple minutes. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
The following conversation is real. It took place on February 20th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is LJ. How can I help you?
Hi, I just went to my car and it's not there.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll do what I can to get squared away here. Can I get your home phone number, please?
914.
When you have OnStar, you and your passengers aren't the only ones kept safe. Your vehicle is also safer, because if it's stolen, you can just call OnStar. We'll pinpoint the vehicle's location and help police track it down.
911, what is your emergency?
I'd like to report a vehicle stolen.
Okay, where is he at?
The vehicle is on Summer Place. It is still moving.
If you're already an OnStar subscriber, it's easy to maintain the safety and security you already enjoy for only $16.95 a month. Simply press the blue OnStar button and tell the advisor you'd like to renew. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
You found it?
Yep, and we found four others.
Ah, good deal.
Yeah, they got guys. They got a whole ring over there.
Okay, I'm so glad.
OnStar, always there, always ready.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I recently talked with a hospital worker who said she was living on a fixed income these days, and she's looking for whoever fixed it. Well, one who's not doing the job of fixing our ailing economy is our beloved George W. His idea of helping America's hard-hit working families is to give yet another trillion-dollar tax giveaway to the richest people in the country. They'll use it to create jobs, he says, with that self-satisfied smirk of his. But that's what he said about his first trillion-dollar giveaway to the same rich people 2 years ago. Since then, the U.S. has lost more than 2 million jobs. In just the past few months, there have been mass layoffs by such giants as AOL, Time Warner, Boeing, Dow Jones, Goodyear, Kodak, McDonald's, Merrill Lynch, JCPenney, Sara Lee, and Verizon, and more to come. These are bad numbers, politically as well as economically. Such mass layoffs are especially embarrassing because, well, they get noticed by the public. When so many workers are given pink slips at once, it gets in the news. And the Labor Department, which tracks this data, reports that there were more than 2,000 mass layoffs last year. Ouch. What to do, what to do? I know, shouted some eager Bushite. Let's just stop reporting these numbers. Ah, the cleverness, the simplicity, the manipulativeness. Clean. So that's what the Bushites did. Last Christmas Eve, while the media was off having eggnog and dreaming of sugar plum fairies, Bush's Labor Department quietly slipped out a four-sentence press release announcing that its mass layoff statistics program was discontinued. The statistical Grinches claimed they had to do this because there just wasn't any money for tracking and reporting such information. This is Jim Hightower saying, the only little glitch in this out-of-sight, out-of-mind scheme is that layoffs aren't statistics. They're people, families, communities. We still see you, George. The problem is too big and too ugly to hide.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're speaking with Reed Irvine, founder of Accuracy in Media, AIM.org, and Ed in Dayton, Ohio, is on the line. Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Hello. Thanks for calling. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, no problem. I just wanted to point out three inconsistencies that I'm observing here in what Reed is saying. The first thing is that I notice that whenever he is finding something wrong, something inaccurate in the conservative media, it's always a politically irrelevant technicality, but he is making painting with a very broad, sweeping brush when he makes criticisms of the so-called liberal media, or basically anyone who is not following the ideological line that he considers to be the baseline for constituting something as a fact. That thing with the Washington Times, with the technical inaccuracy about the number of dead in an atomic bomb explosion in World War II, that is not a politically charged question.
Oh, and really? You've got another thing coming if you think that's true.
Well, it is not. It's what I'm saying is the question of whether it was a good idea to use the bomb once or twice might have been. But
I think, Ed, what you're saying is it's not a liberal-conservative issue.
Is not politically charged.
Gar Alperowitz, the New York Times had an article about the bomb also, and they got a letter from a liberal, Gar Alperowitz, pointing out certain ideas that he had about it also. You know, it is a matter of, even now, 58 years later, still a matter of a grave discussion.
But this has nothing to do with the things that are going on in political decision-making today.
Let me give you something.
There's sins of it. Well, wait. Let me finish making my points, and then you can say all you want to about them. But the sins of commission versus the sins of omission. You said that it would have been right for people to criticize if they had shown the body bags coming back from Iraq. Did you make any criticism of the fact that they made such a big show of the ones coming back from Somalia? Do you think that do you call the media to task for that? I guess that's another, you know, that's a fairly big inconsistency. It seems to me that your standards, your criteria shift dramatically as you move from one viewpoint to another in your analysis of
Reed, I think it kind of boils down to the question of, you know, do you consider yourself a conservative advocacy group that is looking for, you know, liberal bias or liberal inaccuracies that you can nail, or do you consider yourself to be a group that is not political?
I'm looking for factual accuracy. Now, you know, facts are neither liberal nor conservative. They are true, or they are what is said is either true, or it's false. Let me give you something major. I haven't had really much opportunity here to point out, for example.
Sure, and I'm sorry, I'll let you know. We've only got about a minute left.
Okay. Well, one of the deaths that we have spent a lot of time on is the death of Deputy White House Counsel Vincent W. Foster Jr. Last week ago Sunday was the 10th anniversary of his body being found over in Fort Marcy Park. We have done a lot of work on this case. We've looked at the evidence, examined it, and we have established, I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Vincent Foster did not commit suicide in Fort Marcy Park. But can we get the Washington Times to report this? No. Can we get the New York Times to report it? No. Can we get the Washington Post to report it? No. Why?
I mean,
this is
maybe they don't believe you. I mean,
I have to tell you that Al Raines, who recently lost his job as executive editor.
I'm sorry, Reed. We have run out of time. That music means that I can't, you know, we can't go any farther than this. I very much appreciate your being on with us. Thank you very much for taking the time to share your time with us. AIM.org is Reed's website. You're listening to Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Seaweed from the Pacific Ocean finds the good life off the coast of Florida. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A marine plant that's found in parts of the western Pacific Ocean has somehow gotten into the waters off the east coast of the United States. Today it covers 60 square miles of the seafloor off Florida's Atlantic shoreline. It's formed a green carpet 2 inches thick, and scientists say it's smothering coral reefs and forcing lobsters and fish to move away. The plant is Caulerpa brachypus. Brian LaPointe has been studying the way it's spreading, and he says it has the potential to cause serious problems. LaPointe is a marine ecologist at the Harbor Branch Oceanographic Institution in Fort Pierce, Florida. LaPointe says the plant appears to be thriving on organic material in wastewater. He and a team of researchers drew that conclusion by studying the nitrogen that the plant uses for food.
And those data tell us very clearly that sewage nitrogen is the primary source of nitrogen fueling these blooms off these reefs in northern Palm Beach County.
A relative of Caulerpa brachypus is an extremely aggressive plant called Caulerpa taxifolia. 3 years ago, people were shocked to find a small patch of it off the coast of California. They were able to eradicate much of it with the use of chlorine, but LaPointe says that wouldn't work in Florida. One reason is simply that the infestation of Caulerpa brachypus is already out of control.
We really couldn't do what they did in California because of the very large area that's already affected by this bloom.
LaPointe doesn't know how Caulerpa brachypus got into Florida's waters, but he says people need to deal with it because of its enormous potential impact on marine organisms. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
More united we stand, divided we fall. And if our backs should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together.
Together Yes, yes, indeed. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Is this administration putting corporate cronyism above the needs of both our troops and our labor force? Let me just lay this out for you real quickly. I'm tempted to go to the troops first because this is, yeah, we haven't lost more people than we did in the Battle of the Bulge, but we have young men and women, well, and some even not so young, some of my age. We have men and women in Iraq who are daily confronting horrors that most of us could hardly imagine. The stench of dying bodies, horrific temperatures, lousy food, the sense that at any moment you could be shot. I have been in war zones, and I can tell you it is one incredibly scary thing. And we've got these people, most of them kids, over there. And it turns out that one of the reasons why they don't have the air conditioning that they really should have if it's going to be 120 degrees, why they don't have the modular housing units that were being built for them, why they don't have a lot of the water systems and things, is because some of the contractors, this great privatization, this great corporatization, let's take government functions and give them to corporations. And we'll let the corporations make a profit on it, and because they're making a profit, they will do it better. I mean, if you have, and it's turned out it hasn't worked. What has happened is that these corporations are saying, hey, no thanks. David Wood's article in Newhouse News Service, some of Army civilian contractors are no-shows in Iraq. Months after American combat troops settled into occupation duty, they were camped out in primitive, dust-blown shelters without windows or air conditioning. The Army has invested heavily in modular barracks, showers, bathroom facilities, and field kitchens, but troops in Iraq were using ramshackle plywood latrines and living without fresh food or regular access to showers and telephones. Why? Because the corporations that the Army hired to supply these things decided not to go into Iraq because the insurance premiums were going up. Even mail delivery, also managed by civilian contractors, says David Wood, fell weeks behind. General Charles S. Mahan, the head of logistics for the United States Army, said in an interview, and I quote, "We thought we could depend on industry to perform these kinds of functions," end quote. But we were wrong, apparently. As Linda K. Theiss, an official of the Army's Field Support Command, says, "You cannot order civilians into a war zone. People can sign up to that, but they can also back out." And they are. As a result, David Wood says, soldiers lived in the mud, then the heat, and the dust. Back home, a group of mothers organized a drive to buy and ship air conditioners to their sons. One Army captain asked a reporter to send a box of nails and screws to repair his living quarters and latrines. Yes, he had to ask a reporter for this. Pete Singer, the guy who wrote the book Corporate Warrior, says it's a profound change in the way the military operates. There has been a tenfold increase in the number of contracts civilians are performing for the military for stuff that the military itself used to do. They replaced, for example, 1,100 Marine cooks with civilians 2 years ago. They corporatized cooking in the Marine Corps. They said, we got these guys, they signed up to work in the Marines, we ought to have them out there shooting people, or fighting, or, you know, doing those things that Marines are supposed to do. Well, on the surface, I suppose there's some sense to be made there. But there's two problems. The first is that sometimes you need to use your cooks as soldiers. In the Battle of the Bulge in December of 1944, the Marine cooks picked up rifles and went off and fought. Try telling some guy who works for Halliburton that he's got to pick up a rifle and go fight. And secondly, civilians, as Singer says, quote, can walk off the job anytime they want, and the only thing the military can do is sue them later on, end quote. And then it's not going to be a criminal prosecution the way it would be if a soldier walked off the job. It's going to be trying to recover our money. This is why the Bush administration can't, you know, in Congress a couple of days ago, week or so ago, Joshua Bolton refused, along with Wolfowitz, refused to estimate the cost of the Iraq occupation. Why? Because they don't have a clue. Because they got all these contractors on cost-plus basis contracts. What a cost-plus basis contract means, like the contracts that Halliburton got, are we're saying to a private corporation, we're going to guarantee you that whatever your costs are, we're going to pay you that, plus we're going to pay you enough for a profit. Now, when the Army goes in and historically builds living facilities and things like that, the Army's insurance costs don't go up because the Army's self-insured. It's insured by the United States government. But when Halliburton goes in to do these things, this corporation being one of the corporations, last fall the Army hired, this again from David Wood's piece, last fall the Army hired Kellogg Brown and Root, a Houston-based contractor, division of Halliburton, to draw up a plan for supporting U.S. troops in Iraq, covering everything from handling the dead to managing airports. KBR, as it's known, eventually received contracts to perform some of the jobs, and it and other contractors began assembling in Kuwait for the war. But as the conflict approached, insurance rates for civilians skyrocketed to 300 to 400% above normal. According to Matt Klein, president of MMG Agency, Inc., a New York insurance firm, soldiers are insured through the military. He says, quote, it got harder and harder to get civilian contractors to go into harm's way. The Army had $8 million in contracts for troop housing in Iraq sitting idle. They paid for this stuff, and these folks said, no, can't do it. And those who are doing it, the increase in insurance, you and I are having to pay. This is this bizarre mindset of the religion of these so-called conservatives. Barry Goldwater would be rolling over, is rolling over in his grave. Dwight Eisenhower would spit on them to do this to our soldiers. Dwight Eisenhower would be furious. Nathan Newman asks in the Progressive Populist, why does the Bush administration hate our troops? I don't think it's about hate. He points out, however, that in the Army Times, they have been editorializing about the following. Canceling a modest proposal to increase the benefit from $6,000 to $12,000 of families of soldiers who die on active duty. This was canceled by the Bush administration. Rolling back recent increases in monthly imminent danger pay from $225 down to $150 and family separation allowances from $250 down to $100 for troops getting shot at in combat zones. Refusing to consider military tax relief to help military homeowners, reservists who travel long distances for training, or parents deployed to combat zones. And passing pay raises for higher ranks, but capping raises for the lowest ranks at 2%, well below the average raise of 4.1%, and well below, I would add, the rate of inflation. What's going on? It's this religion. Give the money in tax cuts to the rich in the hopes that maybe they will invest in America, although all the evidence is they're investing in China. It's called capital flight. It's happening at a very, very rapid rate. Article about it in today's paper, in today's New York Times. These guys, they say, support our troops. Support our troops. Support our troops. But we're not going to pay for it. The Baltimore Sun reports that in Iraq, and I quote, the Bush administration continues to use American corporations to perform work that United Nations agencies and nonprofit aid groups can do more cheaply. End quote. Why? Partly ideology, partly patronage. We want to make some serious profits for those guys at Halliburton. Now, let's take this a step further. Is this administration putting corporate cronyism above the needs of both our troops and our labor force? They aren't just cutting out the supports underneath our troops in Iraq with this insane policy of corporatization. and handing virtually all of the resources, assets, and processes of the United States government over to private corporations. They're also doing it to folks back here in the United States in the workforce. This whole issue of capital flight. What is capital flight? It means corporations going over to China and not just hiring. You know, the stuff that you go into Walmart and you buy. We were walking downtown in this little town in Vermont where we live, broadcasting here live from the People's Republic of Vermont. And Louise and I are walking down through town the other day, and they're selling American flags out in front of the hardware store. And I pull off one of them, and it's got a little label made in China. Now, it's not, in many cases, American companies buying things from Chinese companies. Increasingly, what's happening is that American companies are taking money that they made in the United States, that investment money that Bush said the tax cuts would make available, they're taking that investment money to China and Malaysia and many other countries all around, Mexico, and building their own factories. It's capital flight. It's not just that we're having to compete against foreign companies. American companies are having us compete against foreign workers. This is nuts. Phil in Florida has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Phil.
Yeah, you know, this is a, how can I put this, the mentality that they have really follows the theory or the concept that they've always said that government doesn't work.
Right, it's not a mentality, it's a religion, yeah. And it flies in the face of facts.
Yeah, government doesn't work, and then they get elected, and they prove it.
Right. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, they're trying to destroy democracy in the United States of America, in my opinion. These guys are trying to rip apart this country in order to make a point.
Well, and the more companies and class that they give tax breaks to or contracts to, that helps bring in the money so that George W. can get another term. Because you know, and I know, that they are going to hire the best PR advertising company that exists. And they're going to make it, you know, morning in America again. Okay? And they're going to try to win this election on the basis of, you know, flag waving or heterosexual marriage or, you know, some peripheral issue to the way George Bush won it. You know, you remember he was going to flag factories and stuff?
Oh, I know.
And I had to get a kick out of the guy from Accuracy and Media. You know, he just reinforces the concept that there's no fool like an old fool. This guy is...
Well, I don't want to pick on somebody because of their age. I mean, I'm kind of an old fool here, too.
This guy is still talking about Vince Foster. I notice he didn't have any interest in investigating the suicide of the guy who was going to become, what, the Secretary of the Air Force?
Yeah, or the suicides of guys over in Iraq. I mean, you know, these are real issues. Phil, thanks for raising these points. Last point here, I got two other calls here, and we're running low on time. Phil, are you still there? Nope, we lost Phil. Okay, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Billy in California is on the line. Welcome, Billy.
Morning, Tom.
Hey,
Tom,
how
I need
are
your
you?
Help.
Okay.
I am working on a project. I call it... after an old movie was called Lies My Father Told Me. This is called Lies My President Told Me. And the reason I'm doing this is people are talking about the California recall and about how it's, you know, about fraud and inducement, you know, that basically our governor lied about the amount of money the deficit was. So I want you to help me make my list up of Lies My President Told Me. I'll throw out a couple and then you help me add to it, okay? First of all,
we're going to have to do it quick, Billy.
Okay, compassionate conservative. Well, that's clearly a lie. You know,
well, it's an oxymoron at least.
Ashcroft and everything else about that tells you how compassionate he is. When you try to put in jail people who are dying who smoke weed, you're not compassionate. I'm a uniter, not a divider. Ask every other country in the world what they think of America today. Ask the Americans where we think we are. That's division, not uniting.
Yeah, I got
this?
It. Billy, I can't, you know, I got John in Long Beach on the line, and we can't just go through a list of things. I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you that if you're going to make a movie out of Bush's lies, you're going to have to do like Lucas did with Star Wars. You're going to have to do a trilogy. With John in Long Beach, 1-800-TALK. Yes, thanks for calling, John. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, good morning, Tom.
Hey, John.
I'm calling you. The phone I'm using to talk to you is a Radio Shack that's made in China.
Right.
I cannot get anything, hardly anything, that's made here. Any computers, telephones, et cetera. They're all made in another country.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that.
Sure, because cheap labor.
Well, it's not just cheap labor. It's because there's been this radical change ever since the Reagan-Bush revolution in the early 80s in the way that the United States, and ultimately in the way that the people of the United States, as the result of two decades of right-wing propaganda, view the role of government in protecting domestic industries and the role of trade in the world relative one country to the other. People just don't understand this.
The problem, though, all this outsourcing of even military equipment, military sensitive equipment to other countries, if these other countries ever cut us off, we could be in dire straits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this has made the United States vulnerable, just like our troops in Iraq are vulnerable right now because these corporations are refusing to show up and comply with the contracts that they agreed to because it's not going to be quite as profitable or because it's dangerous and they don't want to put their contractors in harm's way. That same situation is very real when you're looking at the possibility that you need a part for a missile from some obscure country or you know, like that. Good point there, John. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. We're helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense in the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between five, look at the horses, and one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Show. Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Well, that's doop-de-doo bumper music there, isn't it? The number of people in American prisons right now, the highest absolute number and the highest per capita number on planet Earth, is 2,166,260. Of course, you won't find those people in Labor Department reports. They're not listed as unemployed, but they are also not earning wages. We down in Atlanta right now, they're arguing, and all the talk show hosts and whatnot are fighting about this. They're arguing about whether or not they should have a law forbidding panhandling, forbidding begging. Nobody, and you got all these right-wing talk show hosts who are going on and on in Atlanta about right now. Our daughter called and told us about this and sent us a story about it. Should we stop these people from begging? Should we get them off the street? Should we ban them? Should we banish them? Nobody's asking the question, why is it that we've got over 2 million people in prison and in every city in America you've got thousands of people homeless? Is this an indicator of a social ill? And might that social ill have something to do with the con philosophy, the conservative philosophy, that corporations can do everything better? And that if the rich get richer, that's just fine. Thank you very much. That's America. Well, I'm all in favor of opportunity. I'm all in favor of people getting rich. I put that on the record. I am not in favor, however, of one person's right to get rich harming the health and welfare of a nation. There has to be a balance. That is why we have governments. That's the core and the key to the whole thing. I mean, this is Adam Smith said, it was not by gold or by silver, but by labor that all the wealth in the world was originally purchased. And he went on to say, this is in Wealth of Nations, published in 1776. Men whose interest is never exactly the same as that with the public, this being merchants and manufacturers, who have generally an interest to deceive and even oppress the public, and who accordingly have, upon many occasions, both deceived and oppressed it. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be control. We'll be back after the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations.
Exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Two men, including a British man of Indian descent, have made appearances in a New Jersey courtroom in connection with the alleged smuggling of a Russian surface-to-air missile into the United States. A third suspect was also arrested in the sting operation, the result of months of close cooperation between American, British, and Russian intelligence agencies. More from correspondent Nina Maria Potts, who's in Washington.
The British man, identified as Hekmat Lakhani, is believed to be an established arms dealer. He flew to the States on Sunday after reportedly disguising the shoulder-held surface-to-air missile as medical equipment and a shipment to the East Coast port of Baltimore. He allegedly bought the missile for $85,000 and then tried to sell it to an undercover FBI agent posing as an Islamic extremist. The missile is similar to that deployed in Kenya in November, which narrowly missed an Israeli passenger jet on takeoff. Concerns have been raised that the missile in this case was meant for a commercial airliner. The sting operation is a result of months of cooperation between British, American, and Russian law enforcement agencies. The British suspect is thought to have purchased the missile at a Russian arms factory, and the missile reportedly came in on a Russian vessel. Nina Maria Potts, Washington.
North Korea is demanding the United States sign a non-aggression treaty and begin normalizing relations as a precondition for solving the North Korean nuclear impasse. We get the latest on that story now from Far East correspondent Celia Hatton in Beijing.
In a lengthy government statement broadcast by North Korea's official news agency, North Korea called on the U.S. to agree to a legally binding non-aggression treaty, thereby rejecting informal proposals put forth by the U.S. and several other countries that fell short of a full non-aggression pact. North Korea is also calling on the U.S. to normalize relations with Pyongyang. The reclusive state warned the U.S. not to equate it with Iraq, arguing that it will not agree to early arms inspections. The statement by North Korea comes ahead of imminent six-country talks aimed at convincing North Korea to abandon its nuclear weapons ambitions. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved, get the number, and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
More than 7,000 doctors across the U.S. say they think it's time to institute universal health coverage. Their call is being made in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The group says 41 million Americans are without any form of health insurance. The AMA, however, isn't supporting their position. Retail sales were unexpectedly strong last month as Americans spent more money on a range of products. The Commerce Department says retail sales were up 1.4% in July. Car dealers saw an especially sharp increase with sales up 3.2%. The July increase was the biggest since March.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up,
okay? You know I never
forget. I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
At least 15 people have been killed in Afghanistan after a minibus explosion, the blast happening in the southern province of Helmand. It's possible also closer to 20 people were killed. Details from correspondent Alistair Wanklin.
The bus was en route to the provincial capital, Lashkar Gah, southwest of Kabul, when it blew up. Regional Security Commander Rahman Sabir said half of those on board were women and children. The exact cause of the blast has not been established, but police say they think it was not a landmine. In the last few weeks, the number of attacks in Helmand province has increased, following a resurgence of Taliban and suspected Al-Qaeda fighters thought to be operating from Pakistan. Alistair Wangton reporting.
And former President Bill Clinton is turning his attention now to embattled California Governor Gray Davis. The New York Times is citing associates of both men who say that over the past week, Clinton has become one of Davis's main strategic advisors. Davis, of course, is facing a recall election in California October 7th. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. There's that clicking noise again. If it sounds like Riverdance is performing under your hood, you could be in for some expensive repairs. I'll be back in a snap and tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. That click-click isn't Riverdance, but it could be a malfunctioning tappet. Like doors open and close, letting people into a club, tappets open and close, letting air into your engine's cylinders. To move efficiently, tappets use engine oil for lubrication, and there's the potential problem. Debris in contaminated oil not only causes tappets to click, it also piggybacks with the oil into all engine parts. Bottom line, expensive repairs. So before you hear your dollars clicking away, schedule oil changes regularly. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And good afternoon. Broadcasting coast to coast live on the IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman. We're also broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite system, stream 145. And also live on the internet at radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, one of the most informative, intelligent, competent, erudite places in cyberspace, go to liberaltalkradio.com or tomhartmanshow.com and click on the chat button. It'll get you to the trade forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button. Drop into the chat room. Say hi. Pull up a chair. Meet some of the folks there. The Lies of George W. Bush. June 24th, 02. Last year. Last June 24th. Great photo opportunity. It was staged by these White House guys who used to work for Faux News. And here's George Bush in front of an aircraft carrier, or some kind of big ship. I don't know what kind of ship it is, actually, but you can see I'm looking at the picture here, and here he is, and above him are all these sailors, and the ship, and it looks incredible. It's just a great backdrop. I mean, just brilliant production values. And Bush says to these sailors, "We're working hard to make sure your job is easier, that this port is safer. The Customs Service is working with overseas ports and shippers to improve its knowledge of container shipments, assessing risks so that we have a better feel of who we ought to look at, what we ought to worry about." The reality, however, according to www.house.gov/appropriations_Democrats/caughtonfilm.htm, the reality is the president's 2003 and his 2004 budgets provide $0 for port security grants. The GOP Congress has provided only $250 million, one quarter of $1 billion, the equivalent of the amount of money that we spent in Iraq in 2.5 days for port security grants, 35% less than authorized by Congress. Additionally, in August, the president vetoed all $39 million for the Container Security Initiative, which is what he had been bragging to these seamen and merchant marines about. And where is the liberal media when you need them pointing this stuff out? I mean, it's just, oh my goodness. Yesterday's Wall Street Journal had a couple of interesting articles. It made for a fascinating juxtaposition. And this, I just want to stay on this topic for a while here. We were going to talk about Liberia. I've got some information for you. Our guest, however, is not there, and so we're going to come back to that topic perhaps later in the hour, perhaps later in the week. But this. Is this administration putting corporate cronyism above the needs of both our troops and our labor force? Let's again take that a step further. Let's look a little deeper. The New York Times, this is an article in the New York Times, Business Day section, and the article is called "Fed's Stance on Low Rates Could Be the Nudge Stocks Need." Now, here's how this is going to play out. The stock market, in all probability, is going to gradually go up. The reason is not because companies are getting healthier, although some are, but many are not as well. The reason is not because America is economically getting stronger. The reason is not because there is a revival of the economy, if you define the economy as having anything at all to do with the standard of living of average Americans. Now, unfortunately, we're defining this, the federal government is defining the health of the economy simply by gross domestic product. And there are great quotes from both Robert Kennedy and Dwight Eisenhower about that, where both of them pointed out that building warships, that, Eisenhower said, every warship built ultimately is a theft from future generations. And Bobby Kennedy pointed out that devastated forests will increase gross domestic product, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's improved the quality of life. He had a whole list of them. I don't have it here in front of me. The great quotes. I'm going to have to dig them out one of these days and share with you. But the point is that every time a forest falls, every time somebody's diagnosed with cancer, every time an oil spill happens and shorelines are devastated, GDP goes up. Somebody gets cancer, GDP goes up $250,000, because that's on average what it costs to treat cancer. We go off to war, GDP goes up. Now, does that mean that the quality of life here in the United States has improved? Does that mean that we have more bridges, we have more roads, we have... No. Does that mean that more people have affordable housing? No. Does it mean that people have access to health care? No. Does it mean that people have access to better education? No. It means that we dug out of the ground some lead out in the far west, and we formed it into bullets, and we shot it into people or dropped it on people, and it's gone. So anyhow, the market is going to go up gradually, I predict. But not because America is getting healthier, and not even because business is getting healthier, but because of a slick little trick that the Republicans put into the tax cut legislation that they just passed, wherein they said, if you earn your living by working with a paycheck, you're going to have to continue paying payroll tax, you're going to have to continue, you know, you're stuck, and there's no tax break for you. If, however, you want to make your income by owning stock and having that corporation pay dividends, then we're going to tax you at a 15% rate rather than a 35% rate. So the heirs of the Walton fortune and Bill Gates and everybody else, all these folks, anybody who owns stock, 65% of the stock in the United States is held by the top 10% economically. And the vast majority of what remains is held by large institutions, and many of them representing small stockholders, the 401ks and things like that. But most people, even in their 401ks, you know, it's already tax sheltered. So for the average person, this is absolutely meaningless, because any stocks that they own, they own in retirement accounts, which are already tax-free. This is a tax cut only for those people whose incomes are so high that they would normally be paying 35% or more in their income taxes, and we're going to cut it down to 15% for them. Now, what that means is that if a corporation wants its stock price to go up, which is a desirable thing for corporations, particularly if they own a lot of their own stock, and then they can use that stock as if it was cash. You know, they can buy things and exchange stock for them, things like that. They can sell their own stock. If a corporation wants its stock prices to go up, or if the CEOs and senior officers and management and board of a corporation want the stock price to go up because they own a bunch of stock or a bunch of stock options, and they want to cash out and make millions, all that corporation has to do is start paying dividends. Start distributing a little bit of their profit to their stockholders. And those dividends are taxed at the 15% rate, not the 35% rate. So what happens is that for the high-end investors, suddenly, particularly with Greenspan keeping these interest rates so very low that investing in bonds is they're virtually returning the rate of inflation. That if you want to make money, you put your money with a company that pays dividends. And all of a sudden, there have been all these companies, over 100 in the last couple of weeks, who have announced that they're going to start paying dividends, Microsoft among them. For the first time in its history, Microsoft is paying dividends. As we pointed out in this program last week, this is producing an $80 million tax cut for Bill Gates, this little piece of this legislation. So anyhow, the market's going to go up because these companies are starting to pay dividends, and that's going to cause people to want to buy more of their stock, which is going to bid it up. Keep in mind, when people buy stock in the stock market, they are not investing money in the American economy. The stock market is like a giant betting parlor, and you are buying stock from somebody else. You're not buying it from the company. The money that you pay, you go out and buy 100 shares of AT&T, AT&T gets none of that money. The person who sold those shares gets that money. Corporations only get money from stock when they initially offer it, or if on some occasions down the road when they decide to sell some of their own stock. But by and large, 99% of the time, the money that goes into the stock market has nothing to do with those corporations. So anyway, you've got this betting parlor, and that's gonna and the betting parlor has now been incentivized with lower tax rates. So more people are going to go into that. What this is going to do is cause it to look like the economy has gotten a little better. Now, the media And this is something that I should have a question that I should have asked our last guest. Why is it? Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, when there were two newspapers in Detroit, and one represented the Democratic/Labor view, and the other represented the Republican/corporate view, and the Democratic/Labor paper had regular sections about the labor movement in it. Why is it that most of the newspapers in America have business sections? None of them have labor sections. The reality is that the media looks at the stock market and says, that's the American economy. Even though you and I know that it's not. It's a betting parlor. And by this little trick of reducing the tax on dividends, the Republicans have set this thing up where the stock market is going to start going up and the media is going to say, oh, look at that, stocks are, they're pushing 8,200, they're pushing 8,300, 8,500, 8,600. It means things are getting better. It's morning in America. And the reality is, it is creating money out of nowhere. Just as that money vanished into a black hole when the market lost $3 trillion by dropping from 10,000 down to 8,000. It is creating money out of nowhere, and there is some small measure of prosperity associated with it. But it doesn't mean that America is healthier economically. It's just a number. And the reality is that our jobs are going to continue to go offshore. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I'm going to pick this up right after the break and nail this down for you. The steel industry got protective tariffs in the Bush administration. An absolute contradiction of their con philosophy, religion. What have been the consequences of that, and what is the steel industry saying about that, and how does that tie into what I was just talking about? Here with Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, sweetie, your first day of school. Let me get pictures of you in front of the building.
Capture back-to-school memories at Radio Shack with a super-thin Casio XLMS3 digital camera, just $349.99 with 3.2 megapixels, 4x digital zoom, and a docking station.
Mom, come on, it's my senior year.
Smile!
Plus, save $75 when you buy a digital camera and a photo printer.
Mom!
At Radio Shack, $50 from HP and $25 from Radio Shack, back by mail when you purchase a digital camera over $149.99 and an HP photo printer. Offer ends A24.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network. Every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet.
We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You don't know what's going on. You've been away for far too long. You can't come back and think you are still mad.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The Wall Street Journal had run an editorial back on August 6th called Steal Thyself, Karl Rove, in which they attacked the tariffs that the administration had put on U.S. steel to protect the U.S. steel industry. And Wilbur L. Ross, chairman of the International Steel Group, wrote a letter to the Wall Street Journal pointing out the error of their ways. He says, and I quote, the steel industry faced a monumental crisis. More than 30 U.S. companies were forced into bankruptcy. Nearly 50,000 jobs were eliminated and tens of thousands more were threatened. And then he says, he points out that Bush put in this tariff that's like a tax on imported steel. And the industry is consolidating and billions are being invested, says Mr. Ross. Domestic producers are creating innovative, precedent-setting labor agreements that reduce costs and ensure job security for our steelworkers. None of these steps, he says, would have occurred without the tariffs put in place by President Bush. Meanwhile, the tariffs have not hurt other industries. Steel prices in the U.S. remain among the lowest in the world, and steel is readily available. Cries of harm are simply not credible. And then he goes on to finally say, the Financial Times pointed out that steel-consuming industries actually added about 228,000 jobs after implementation of the steel program. These problems, these financial problems, can be solved simply by going back to the old-fashioned way of doing things, which is protecting our domestic industries. It is vital. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-825-5937. And Vicki in Idaho is on the line. Vicki, welcome.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to tell you that there are a couple of other things that the Bush administration is doing. Actually, it's a perpetuation of the policies of American worker replacement.
Yes.
And in order for these corporations to make money, they're doing both offshoring and they're also issuing basically unlimited temporary foreign worker visas to bring foreign workers in to replace Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chile-Singapore trade agreements, I think, I'm not sure if they're the first ones to do this or not, but basically they allow unlimited intra-company transfers of temporary foreign workers into the U.S., and the L-1 visas, those people don't even pay U.S. income taxes.
Yeah, and this is a symptom of a much larger problem, Vicki. And thanks for sharing that and making that point. And that is that that if it works for corporations, this administration is in favor. I think it's the same thing with the jobs that are being outsourced. Look at, you know, IBM and their conference call a couple of weeks ago where they're talking about 3 million jobs that need to go, not just from IBM, but from, you know, white collar jobs that are going to India and countries like India that can, where people can answer phones and sound like they only have a modest accent because they're native English speakers. For, you know, $5,000 a year for an employee that you might have to pay $30,000 or $40,000 for in the United States. 1-800-TALK, yes. Mike in D.C. is on the line. Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm great. Mike, we only have about a minute here left, so if you want to get into it.
Very quickly. As for Reed Irvine and his idea of accuracy, a quick one for you. Back in the Cold War, there was a track meet of the U.S. and USSR. The U.S. won. It was reported in Izvestia as they reported the track meet and they said, America comes in next to last. Technically a true statement.
Yes.
Technically a true statement.
Well, however, that's where when he said, you know, we're only looking for facts, I said, and I didn't want to get into this whole thing with him because I don't think he heard me say it, but I said, you know, facts have context and you can't ignore the context.
Exactly, and that's the problem. These people who talk about facts like he does, you know, separated from reality.
Yeah,
you know,
facts in a vacuum are meaningless. It's thank you, Mike. I appreciate the comment and thanks for sharing that. You're in the Democracy Zone. I'm Tom Hartman. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Technicians at the Oyster Creek Nuclear Power Plant in New Jersey are back on the job after 11 weeks on strike, losing the battle to protect their livelihood. The technicians, members of Local 1289 of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, went on strike in May over plans to cut 20 jobs. Their ranks have already been slashed by more than half over the last 2 years. But the contract approved by a slim majority last week gives Exelon, the company running the reactors, the right to cut as many jobs as it sees fit over the next 3 years. Members of the union local call the new deal worse than the offer Exelon made them 3 months ago. Exelon kept Oyster Creek online during the strike by flying in technicians from other nuclear facilities it owns around the country. Just before settling the walkout, Exelon announced plans to cut 10% of its workforce by 2006.
As contract talks between Verizon and its largest two unions head into overtime, some of the phone company's workers are turning to customers for support. The Communications Workers of America wants Verizon subscribers to switch to competitors like AT&T if and when a strike begins. The plan has won the support of many college students, including Maddie Alpenbein of United Students Against Sweatshops, who says she's prepared to organize carrier switches on college campuses unless Verizon improves its relations with workers in its wireless division.
The wireless carrier switch is a solidarity campaign for the one unit of 52 workers who are currently negotiating a contract at Verizon Wireless. USAS is prepared to make Verizon enemy number one!
Contracts covering Verizon employees expired on August 3rd, and nearly 80,000 workers are poised for a walkout.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Is this administration putting corporate cronyism above the needs of both our troops and our labor force? The point of all this, and I'm going to move on to a few other things here, but the point of all this is that this religion, which is so grounded in, oddly, in this novel that Ayn Rand wrote, Atlas Shrugged, and this whole religion of objectivism is that corporations can do no wrong, and that therefore, because corporations can do no wrong, we should just turn it over, and the governments can do no right, and it's just simply wrong. The government of the United States is of, by, and for we the people. At least that's the theory, and if we were to function in that way, then actually I think some very positive things could come out of that. Let's change topics here and talk about Liberia. We've been watching this drama unfold with Charles Taylor and Moses Blah and George Bush going off to Africa and saying, yes, we're going to help, and then saying, well, maybe we're not, well, maybe we will, and maybe we won't, and who knows. And we have on the line Amira Woods, co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus. She's originally from Liberia and is an expert on U.S. relations with Africa, aid efforts in the region, and related topics. Amira, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having this program and for your opening comments. They were right
on
target.
Am I pronouncing your name right?
Amira.
Amira.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And Charles Taylor has just left. Moses Blah is in charge. What is this going to mean for Liberia?
Well, first, for the first time for Africa, it means a seated head of state who has been indicted by the international community has been ushered out by other African heads of state. You had the President of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, joined with the head of the African Union and the president of Ghana. They took personal risk, you know, on themselves. They took the risk. They went to Liberia in spite of the conflict, and they ushered out a war-indicted criminal. And
this is
a good thing for Liberia. Now,
okay.
According to the Constitution, the president hands over power to his vice president.
Right.
And this is what happened on Monday. Charles Taylor handed power to Moses Blah. Now, Blah is clearly of the same cloth as Charles Taylor. He was one of his generals early on in the fighting. He was trained in Libya with Taylor and has been a part of the warlordism of the last few years. However, he is the next in line constitutionally. What's expected to happen now is that this Blah government remains for a very short time, and it will be followed before October by a transitional governing authority. There is a very complicated and difficult process going on in Ghana in which Liberian opposition leaders, civil society organizations, and also, you know, which is what makes it complicated, representatives from the rebel factions and from the Taylor faction, they are all negotiating a transitional governing authority for Liberia to take over from Moses Blah.
Okay.
So there is some good news, a lot of good news. There mm-hmm. is even more urgent need for peace enforcers to be on the ground in higher numbers. Now, at the moment, the U.S. has 7. Let's make it clear, 7. As part of that peace enforcement mission on the ground.
7 human beings.
7, yes. 7 soldiers, people. 7 Marines.
Yeah.
That's it. They had many pictures taken. They were in the New York Times. They're on the Washington Post, above the fold. And yet the stories were way in the back of the papers saying that there were only 7 that actually left.
Well, you know, just to give them credit, though, I mean, when we went into Haiti after the Duvalier disaster, we went in with 11 Marines, and they were actually very effective. I mean, they were very effective in pulling things together and helping. You know, competence breeds competence. It's almost infectious. And so, I mean, you know, maybe these 7 guys can do something good. I don't think that we should necessarily just dismiss them, but I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a larger presence there.
The requests have been really clear. The requests have been for U.S. peacekeepers to participate in this multinational force. At the moment, it's Nigeria. Nigeria has about 700 soldiers on the ground already. Those mm-hmm. numbers need to increase so that they can expand their scope and their location so that they can have a firmer, more rooted presence in Liberia. They don't have that at the moment. What they need is the support. The support has been promised from other African countries, from Ghana, from Senegal, from Mali, but the U.S. has been reluctant to respond to that call.
Mira, do you think that we have a historic obligation to intervene in Liberia?
Well, that's the thing. The U.S. has a 180-year history of involvement with Liberia since the founding of the country. The U.S., through the American Colonization Society, founded Liberia. Oftentimes in the media, it's depicted as freed slaves went back and founded Liberia. Well, that's true to some extent, but the real story is that the American Colonization Society, with support from President James Monroe...
right, in 1817.
Exactly. Actually worked to establish Liberia. The U.S. Navy was involved in basically intercepting ships at sea and taking those freed slaves back to Liberia. So Liberia has a really rich and complicated history, not only with at the African American community, but with the U.S. government from back then. But then, if you keep tracing it from there. The U.S. has been involved in extraction of Liberia's resources. So rubber, one of our primary resources, Firestone basically went into Liberia back in the 1920s.
1923.
Quelled this burgeoning labor movement that was starting already from the 1800s. There was a labor movement. Mm-hmm. Firestone helped to quelch that movement as they signed leases with the Liberian government, 99-year leases, to extract rubber for a fee of 8 cents per acre.
Built a 1-million-acre plantation to do it.
Exactly. There are similar statistics with Bethlehem Steel, taking the iron ore from Liberia. Bethlehem Steel signed, again, these long 99-year leases with the government of Liberia to extract the iron ore at a rate of 5 cents per ton. So the U.S. has been involved both economically and politically in Liberia, and perhaps the greatest involvement has been militarily. And if you look at Liberia before Taylor, in the 1980s, you had a situation where Liberia was used as a tool during the Cold War, and you had essentially the U.S. under the Reagan administration channeling arms and support to a military government. At that time, that was Samuel Doe. And Doe received the greatest amount of military assistance than all of the previous Liberian governments combined. Since the history of Liberia, you combine
now,
them all.
Mira, a couple of quick questions here. If we can make our points perhaps a little more rapidly.
Okay.
The rebels... Taylor has been saying that the United States has been funding the rebels largely through our military aid to Ghana, as I recall, or to Guinea.
Well, to Guinea, yes. What has happened is the U.S. has given military assistance to Guinea, one of Liberia's neighboring countries. Guinea then with a wink and a nod, yes, but sometimes directly, gives the military assistance to the LURD rebels who have been operating from Guinean borders and functioning there in Liberia. So, yes, the U.S. has been involved.
So are these rebels the good guys or the bad guys? I mean,
what's
going on here?
They're all cut from the same cloth. The rebels don't really have an ideological bent. Their main emphasis is getting access to power.
So it's just one warlord replacing another warlord.
It would be essentially, yes. They started all together with Charles Taylor and some of the representatives of these various two rebel factions. They all started off together fighting Doe, and then over time they have broken up into different factions, and that's what you have today.
Do you think that, you know, given this condition, given the state of things there, do you think that it's possible that the United States, if it participates, can help pull together some sort of a functional semi-democratic or democratic government without getting involved in a protracted, expensive, lengthy, and potentially dangerous nation-building exercise that probably will not fly politically?
Once again, the issue is, in the case of Iraq, America responded unilaterally to try to bring peace, to try to manage the government.
Iraq had 10% of the world's oil, though. I mean,
sorry?
Liberia doesn't.
What I'm saying is that's the wrong example. In the case of Liberia, there's an opportunity for America to join in a multinational response that would bring, first, peacekeeping on the ground, second, humanitarian assistance, and third, help with the recovery, both the political recovery and the economic recovery that's needed to put Liberia on the road to peace. America can help with the international community, and there's a specific ask here, you know. The first ask is for America to send troops to work with those peacekeepers on the ground. The second ask is for America to provide the financial backing. At the moment, the mission is expected to cost up to $2 million per day. America has given $10 million total, okay, to this effort that's costing $2 million per day. Very, very little. Especially once, again, you compare to Iraq, where it's $1 billion per week. So, again, it's giving indications that if the Bush administration cannot respond appropriately to Liberia, where it has had a 180-year relationship, how can it then effectively respond to the rest of Africa? And that's the question that's on the table. It's being asked by African heads of state. It's being asked by African civil society leaders. Clearly, there needs to be a better response than has happened to date.
So this is a credibility issue, then.
This is a credibility issue. You had Bush in June going off to Africa saying, we are representing, you know, concern for Africa, for HIV/AIDS, and many of us know that, you know, beyond the pictures there was very little substance. And here there's an opportunity to move beyond the pictures, and yet that has not happened. The Bush administration has been reluctant to act in any kind of substantive way to help bring about the peace that's needed in Liberia.
Now, Amira, we're talking with Amira Woods, who's the co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus, the Institute for Policy Studies. Amira, first of all, is there a website where people can get more information about you, your organization, or your perspectives on this?
Yes. Foreign Policy and Focus is a think tank that produces analysis on U.S. foreign policy, and people can go to our website, which is www.fpifforeignpolicyandfocus.org. We are a part of the Institute for Policy Studies, which has a 40-year tradition providing analysis on U.S. domestic and foreign policy based in Washington. And that one is www.ips.org.
IPS.org, okay. The French have this long relationship with Sierra Leone, another neighboring country to Liberia. And, you know, as a colonial occupying force.
Well, actually, to Ivory Coast, yes.
Ivory Coast,
the British to Sierra Leone, yes.
Yeah, and the British to Sierra Leone. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And in both cases, those countries are re-participating, the French in particular, in the Ivory Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And are those examples for the United States of situations that have worked out where a former colonial power or a nation that has a traditional relationship with one of these nations in this region have been successful in making things work, or are there warnings in those experiences for
us? I think those are excellent examples. In Sierra Leone, you had atrocities going on that were so devastating. You saw people's limbs being hacked off, and once you had the international community taking it on and saying, we are going to respond to this because these crimes against humanity must not be allowed to stand. You had in Sierra Leone, in the case of Sierra Leone, you had the British together with with other countries, including other African countries, coming in, bringing peacekeepers, establishing peace, and that peace has been maintained. You've had a similar situation there in the Ivory Coast where the French took leadership, but they were joined by African peacekeepers and other peacekeepers from within the United Nations. And again, this is the model that works. This is also indication that all of the funds and the efforts of the international community must not go to waste. Were the peace to not hold in Liberia, you will again see a continued destabilization of the entire subregion.
Yeah, so the entire region. And in the last 2 minutes, we've got only about 2 minutes here left. And the last question I wanted to ask you is: the countries to the north and to the south of Liberia are both producing substantial quantities of oil along that coast, and
the oil is actually a little bit further on. The oil is in the Gulf of Guinea, which is around mm-hmm. Nigeria, around Sao Tome, which people heard about during the coup a few weeks back. So the Gulf of Guinea, both Nigeria, but also Chad, Cameroon, that's the primary area now that's producing tremendous amount of oil. There is exploration going on in that Gulf offshore, in the Gulf of Guinea region, to try to kind of see if there are other...
Well, I was poking around on some of the websites of some of the oil companies, and I was finding documents about they're guessing that there is oil offshore in Liberia, but it hasn't been explored because it's been an unstable region, this, that, the other thing. They haven't been able to clearly identify who would own it. One of the things that they want to have is a government with whom they can sign contracts and say, yes, we actually own this chunk of the coast that we're going to pump this oil out of.
Well, clearly Liberia has tremendous amount of resources. There's gold, there's diamond, there's timber, iron ore. Tremendous resources are there. The key issue is, can we put Liberia on a different footing? I mean, we talk about popular participation and helping to create a political culture where people can participate in their governance. Part of that is because people need popular expression, political expression. But also part of that is working to create a new type of economic model where the resources of the country can help benefit those within the country and not only go externally to enrich external actors and external corporations. So there's an incredible
opportunity. That's going to be a challenge. I mean, unlike the situation with Shell,
With Shell in Nigeria, exactly.
Yeah, Nigeria.
I mean, there's so many examples like that in which governments have served external actors and not served internal
right.
actors.
Amira, we've got about 20 seconds left. Can you give us give our listeners what can people do? What would you suggest people do?
Okay, the first thing I would say is encourage your congresspeople, particularly now while they are in their districts, to support efforts to release funds for Liberia, for the peacekeeping, for the humanitarian response, and for the recovery and demobilization of soldiers and these types of activities. Funding is desperately needed. That can come and must come from the U.S. The U.S. should provide troops, but also...
Mira, I've got to cut you off there. That music means that we are up against the break. It's immutable. Amira Woods, thank you very much for joining us. She's the co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus Institute for Policy Studies. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments. Talk radio for the rest of us.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
One ringy dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine. but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Isn't it great being alive on day 185 of the search for weapons of mass destruction, day 701 of the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George W. Bush, a.k.a. Osama bin Laden. In early June, Mahdi Obadiah. You remember Mahdi Obadiah? He was all over the press. He's the guy who dug up from the rose bush in his backyard a couple of little pieces of metal that were parts of a centrifuge that could be used to separate plutonium out of enriched uranium. And he was the darling of the Bush administration. He was, they were trotting this guy out. He said that they said that if he did this, he was going to be given asylum in the United States, a green card granting him permanent residency, not just for him, but for all eight members of his family, and some cash. And he was all excited about this. Problem is that after he told his initial story and they trotted that thing out, then he continued to say that Saddam had never reconstituted the centrifuge program, that the aluminum tubes were not intended for the centrifuge program, but instead were actually for the rocket program. I mean, he just came out and said this. He told the CIA and told the International Atomic Energy Committee that the aluminum tubes were just intended for rockets. And as soon as he said this to the press, he vanished. This guy is gone. Where is he? He was taken off to a, quote, safe house in Kuwait, end quote, with no access to the telephone, no access to the internet, where he was allowed to cool his heels while he waited for his green card. Asked about this, CIA spokesman William Harlow said last Friday, "We don't issue green cards. We never said he was coming here. We never made a promise." Amazing. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and our associate producer Joe McPherson down in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to you both, and engineered in Detroit by Steph Stryker. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing.